Thanks, everybody, for joining in. This is Bang the Table, a podcast made possible thanks to Fan Nation and SI.com. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Yes, sir. Going to break down the Detroit Lions 6-2 start. What did we learn about this football team in the first half? Can't wait to spend the next 30 minutes kind of talking about a football team that has excited the Metro Detroit region and beyond. The Blue Sea has arrived. National media is talking about the Detroit Lions favorably. When do you get a chance to sit back and tune in to the national media and have them talk about the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, and really hyper-focus on the positives, talking about a football team that sits right now as the number two seed in the NFC, only behind the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was a start to the season that many expected. Many people had the Detroit Lions this season winning north of 10 games. And sitting at 6-2, this football team is poised to win a handful of games this year. The second half starts a little bit challenging when the Lions go out on the road to face the Los Angeles Chargers there at SoFi Stadium. I think it's going to be an interesting game to see how the Lions tackle quarterback Justin Herbert and running back Austin Eckler. But I do want to spend a large majority of this week's podcast talking about what I've learned about this football team, being that I cover the team there at Allen Park, asking the tough questions, being around the players, getting as much insight as possible and sharing it across many different platforms. And I'm very, very intrigued by this football team. First and foremost, it's a team that in the first half has been battle-tested and has proven that they can go out on the road and compete, and really a team that in prime time has the ability to step up. And I think starting with that first game against the Chiefs, many people didn't think that the Lions would go out on the road the opening week of the season in front of a primetime audience, especially with everything that was going on with the Chiefs. They were celebrating their Super Bowl. It was in front of everybody. It was in front of a nationally televised audience, and the Lions came out and they stepped up. And it was a quality performance that I think opened the eyes of a lot of people to this football team, knowing that Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes have really kind of taken their time and invested in players that they believed would come in and change the culture. So that performance right there highlights the readiness and the preparedness that the Lions really showcased throughout the offseason, knowing that their first opponent was the Kansas City Chiefs. And boy, that set the tone early in the season. Now, the Lions did have a couple setbacks in that first half. And I think the lesson that you learn is probably a discussion about the defense and how good it can be. But I think one thing that you can take away is after the Lions stumbled against the Seahawks and the Ravens, their two losses, and we'll probably go into that and look at and explore kind of factors that may impact the Detroit Lions having success in the future. But I think a lesson that you can take away, what we learned about the Lions is they can rebound after some adversity. They can rebound after performances that many would consider subpar, performances that are not like what the standard is for the Detroit Lions. They had two games where the standard was not met, the Seahawks and the Ravens. Their performance defensively really just didn't live up to the expectations of a lot of supporters. And we'll talk about that, of course. No sugarcoating it in regards to some concerns that I have about this football team. But you learned that after the Lions experienced tough losses, they went out and they won the following week. And I think that you recognize this is a football team that understands now how to win games, understands that, look, week to week, you have to play to a certain standard, and the ability to bounce back after adversity is really key, especially when you have a young football team that's still now learning to get their way through things, experiencing things now for the first time, and doing it all together out there on the football field. And I think it's been really impressive to see this football team start out with a 6-2 record. Very impressive. You recognize, too, that this football team, to a certain degree, has a lot more depth that allows them to compete despite suffering a bunch of injuries. You look at the offensive line, and it's unfortunate. Everybody's talked about the potential of this offensive line to really be special. You know, you have the likes of really talented and veteran offensive linemen that can really, really make life positive and beneficial for Jared Goff. You got Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, Halepuli Vaitai, and Penei Sewell. All together, it would just be a situation. It would be fantastic if we could get all five of these guys healthy and playing together. Unfortunately, throughout that first half, the Detroit Lions suffered injuries along the offensive line, and it's been patchwork. You've kind of had to use Kyodi Awosika. You've had to use Dan Skipper, Colby Sorsdahl, now being integrated at multiple spots. But one lesson that you did learn is that the addition of veteran Graham Glasgow was a quality free agent signing. And maybe under the radar, I know many people will notice that obviously he was a former Lion, had some success and things like that, but obviously the former regime felt like he was dispensable as he went on to sign a contract with the Broncos. But the Lions found the opportunity to bring back the veteran, and boy, has he been somebody that has been reliable, somebody that is a player that the linemen, that room really respects. And for him to be able to handle multiple spots, playing at right guard, playing at center, being a veteran leader, I think it really goes to show you that some signings don't always have to be big splashes. They don't always have to be the big name that we all talk about in the media and love. The signing of Graham Glasgow this offseason definitely helped the depth on this football team. And you recognize, wow, a lot of times, you know, there were situations in which Amon Ross St. Brown was nicked up, no problems. You have David Montgomery missing several games, no issues. You have the next man up mentality. And Dan Campbell, I think when you look at it, it really speaks to the level of coaching and the expectations that he set. I really do believe one of the comments in one of his interviews is really telling in my mind in regards to, you know, many people feel like veteran squads or practice squads, as they call it, many people believe those are just guys that are out there helping starters and helping the, you know, two units on offense and defense get prepared for NFL games. Well, Dan Campbell came out in his radio interview that he does weekly, and he indicated, look, we construct our veteran squad and our practice squad in a way where we get them prepared. We put a lot on them as well, with the expectation that maybe one day that they're going to be called upon. And boy, has it been something that has been utilized by the Lions in regards to getting them ready to prepare and play at a high level out there when they've dealt with injuries. You recognize that sometimes when there are situations that the Lions are dealing with injuries, they come out of the blue. You never can predict when an injury is going to take place. So the veteran squad, the Lions practice squad, has been something that has been really something constructed. Many people notice, well, the additions and subtractions are not maybe as high as they used to be. The practice squad in the past used to have really high turnover. The Lions really rely upon their practice squad to teach and to develop and to have the opportunity that should an injury take place, you come in and you step in and you handle business. Similarly, you know, a player like Dylan Drummond had to get called up, had an opportunity to make his debut. You see the potential now that offensive linemen are going to have to come in, and you realize that, okay, you know, if you needed a special teams player, the Lions special teams unit, something really that's been unheralded and really something to talk about, is something that is also something that we really should talk about, is the special teams unit. Guys like Divine Ozigbo, prior to getting waived, was having success on special teams. So you look at this Detroit Lions football team, and they've prepared their practice squad in a way that has allowed them to overcome a handful of injuries. And boy, it's really an advantageous situation when your system can be taught to a number of different positions and a bunch of different units and players across the roster. And really, I think Dan Campbell said it best. It's really not a 53-man roster. It's really a 69-man roster with 16 players on the practice squad. So I feel like that's a valuable, valuable asset that the Detroit Lions had to call upon. So you look at this football team and you recognize, okay, it's a team that really had some decent signings to add to depth. It's a team that really has the ability to bounce back from adversity. It's a team that has the ability to really take their game to a level that can win and win at the highest levels. One other thing that I believe now probably is going to be talked about heavily is the fact that this offense, I think, can still be better. It hasn't met its potential yet. And prior to the season, I did hear a lot of the talk regarding, you know, can this football team, in regards to their offense, can they take it to the next level? Is there going to be something, is there going to be a regression to the mean? And to a degree, that's happened. I think a lesson that we've learned is that red zone offense really needs to step up in the second half. The execution at times really gets bad, and the defense has been able to bail out Ben Johnson and the offense. The offense hasn't been as good as maybe advertised, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, early on, having David Montgomery was fantastic. I mean, I think he's a player that really, really, the 1-2 punch that you've established with David Montgomery and with Jahmyr Gibbs, unbelievable. I think when healthy, those two are going to be a factor and make a lot of noise for this offense. But I think that for whatever reason, I think that you recognize, okay, Jared Goff has chemistry with three, real strong chemistry with three players on this offense, with Josh Reynolds, with Sam Laporta, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that's been something that has been, you know, a real key factor in the offense being productive. Josh Reynolds, unsung hero. Look, I mean, I think every week you recognize that his name is being brought up. I think something that you learned is, you know, the under-the-radar players are really more than just behind-the-scenes guys. They're guys that contribute and contribute at a high level. And for a player like Josh Reynolds, I think his days as being an under-the-radar guy are kind of over. The coaching staff is raving about him. Teams understand what he brings to the table. He's a guy that a large portion of his catches are first downs or touchdowns, and he's one of the guys that is a key figure and a guy that Jared Goff trusts. Amon-Ra St. Brown obviously is a player that has taken his game to the next level. That's key. You've learned that this guy does not rest on his laurels. He's a player that brings it, is consistent, is a grinder, is even willing to play hurt, banged up. And boy, when he's targeted that much and is that effective, I think you can continue to see that the second half of the year, he's going to continue to play at a very, very high level. And then I think the biggest thing that has been impressive about the offense has been tight end Sam Laporta. Man, you look at it and you say, this is part of the reason why a lot of people have high expectations for guys that are drafted, because if done well, the tight end position, I think, for Sam Laporta has put him in a wonderful situation. As you heard when he appeared on the Green Light podcast with Chris Long, Dan Campbell, a former player at the position, giving him tips, a former tight end in Steve Heiden, played at the highest levels, giving him advice. Ben Johnson, a former tight ends coach, also giving him advice. All those nuggets, guys, that is part of the formula as to why Sam Laporta has burst onto the scene. The coaching staff definitely understands the positions, the nuances of the routes that got to be run, the specificity of the route tree that Ben Johnson likes. The timing has just been outstanding with Jared Goff. And you see a player like Sam Laporta, what we've learned is sky's the limit. Push him more. This guy has the potential to be one of the top three tight ends in the entire NFL. You learn that quickly, knowing what he brings to the table and knowing that, wow, the drop-off from losing TJ Hockenson hasn't been there. No drop-off. And actually, you can make the argument the team got better by drafting tight end Sam Laporta. But the offense has kind of struggled to execute when they've gotten to the red zone. It's clear that their red zone efficiency is not where it needs to be. It's got to score more touchdowns. And I think that's going to be a focal point in the second half, is that when they get to the red zone, they got to have more of an opportunity to punch it in and not stumble, not turn the ball over, not get bogged down. And yeah, you could blame injuries. You know, teams don't like to use that as an excuse, but David Montgomery early on in the year scored a bunch of touchdowns, made everybody happy. He was a key, I think. He was in the plans and in the cards to be a player that was going to be the focal point in the red zone. And so when he's gone, it's a big loss, not only between, you know, not only early in the game, but a guy that when the team gets to the red zone is a guy that was definitely going to be a reliable reliable player that has experience and that was going to be hunting for the end zone. So his loss, definitely key. But I think that, you know, when there are injuries, there are opportunities for silver linings. And one of those silver linings being that Jahmyr Gibbs had his development, I think, expedited, having to be thrown in the last couple weeks and having the opportunity to go out there and get the bulk of the carries against the Ravens and against the Las Vegas Raiders puts you in an advantageous situation for the Lions moving forward. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, definitely steadily learning and improving is going to be an integral factor. We're going to have the debates in the future regarding how many carries should Jahmyr Gibbs earn moving forward when David Montgomery returns. Because you got a player there. You see it. You saw against the Raiders. And granted, the Raiders defense is something you have to throw out there. It was abysmal. But you started to see the signs of why the Lions viewed Jahmyr Gibbs as an explosive talent. Player that obviously understands what his role needs to be, loves the football, and loves to compete. And boom, with development, with coaching, with steady improvement along the lines of listening to the coaching staff and trusting the offensive line, boom, had an explosive game against the Raiders. And it just goes to show you, patience is key. Sometimes, you know, rookies are not going to, within the first 3 weeks of their career, they're not just going to go out there and shine. Some do, you know, like Sam Laporta and things like that. They show signs like right away. But some positions just take time. Wide receiver, running back, obviously linebacker, those kind of positions, they take time. And especially with the Lions, they like to teach right there on the fly, sending like guys like Jack Campbell right out there in the fire and having him do work on the edge, coverage, different work in terms of, you know, playing on the edge and learning new things and doing things that he maybe didn't do in college and get out there and learn. So it's going to be very interesting to see now in the second half where this football team is going to go, because it's a playoff team. I think we learned the biggest lesson is that this football team's a playoff team. It's a team that, based on what's going on in the division, is heads and tails better than the other three teams. And that's going to be great, and that you might have the opportunity to wrap up the division really early, and you can start to formulate your strategies for the postseason, get your team as healthy as possible, and set up the opportunity maybe even to be the number one overall seed in the NFC. I'm not sure that that's how it's going to shake out. You know, you got the Eagles that are a good team. You got the 49ers that are going to probably looking in the second half to make some corrections and get over their offensive woes and some of their struggles. But, guys, it's time to get excited about this football team. It's a defense, and we'll talk about some of the struggles of the defense and where our concerns are that may end up impacting this team. But you look at this football team defensively, and there's a lot of things to like, starting with Cam Sutton. I think he's a veteran leader that has taken guys like Jerry Jacobs, Will Harris, and Brian Branch under his wing and has been a player that has been productive and really a player that has been really smart, heady, an individual that I think, you know, when you look at it, Lions didn't have to spend $20 million a year on a defensive back, didn't have to go get Jalen Ramsey. They spent wisely in going out and getting Cam Sutton, who I think the coaching staff really, really respects, and they like what he brings to the table in terms of his leadership, in terms of his work ethic. And really, I think that when you hear about what kind of individual that he is, that you think that, okay, this is a perfect addition to this locker room. And it was interesting that when Jerry Jacobs went out, how the defensive backs kind of just really collapsed against the Ravens. So you recognize, I think, another thing that you learned this year, Jerry Jacobs, I think, is better than people think. Now, is he a lockdown corner? Is he a guy that is going to be totally an individual that will lock down opponents and things like that? There's parts of his game that sometimes teams can expose. But overall, top to bottom, a gritty physical competitor that is around the football, making more plays, and is developing. Sure, I think people, when they see defensive backs make their mistakes or they see, you know, opponents wideouts making plays, they just automatically think that a cornerback is no good. But guys, trust me, Jerry Jacobs embodies what this team is about. He's gritty. He bounces back after a really bad performance against Seattle. Look, the coaching staff, they understood, hey, it happens. They don't get too high or too low. They give players the room to have those kind of performances, and they want to see, do you bounce back? Look, you don't think Aaron Glenn has had a game where he, you know, gave up a bunch of yards or had issues and didn't play his best game? He understands. So when Jerry Jacobs has a game like that, the coaching staff keeps him confident, and he returns and bounces back and started to record some interceptions. So I think that a guy like Jerry Jacobs, who's developing really along with Brian Branch and Tracy Walker, Kirby Joseph, you learn that this defense has the potential to do a lot of big things and to force turnovers. It's a defense that is violent, that is aggressive, that when called upon can really do some things. And you started seeing Tracy Walker the last couple weeks really lay the lumber on some people, liking the opportunity to hit some people. And obviously, I didn't bring him up earlier when I talked about injuries, but that injury to C.J. Gardner-Johnson could have been devastating. But when you turn to the likes of Tracy Walker, who was a former starter, the transition's been seamless. And that's a credit to Tracy Walker and his ability to return pairing up with Kirby Joseph. I think that the pairing there, the work that they did in the training camp and the chemistry that they developed was solid. And now you have a duo back there that really understands exactly what Aaron Glenn wants as a key spot, that safety position. Brian Branch, a rookie that's going to grow and really be a player that unfortunately had to miss some time with injury, but I think that you're starting to see him being a player that can make plays and step in and do some things. So then you turn to the position that I think a lot of people are concerned about and is something that is a lesson that you did learn. The Lions' pass rush is okay, but it's not consistent enough against the best teams in order to be comfortable. And I think there's a position that, even though it was crazy to me that they didn't upgrade that position, maybe you need a bigger player, you know, like a Montez Sweat or a Chase Young, but I was surprised they didn't go out and get a player in any facet, you know, maybe a player that people weren't talking about, but that was a player along the defensive line that could help. And I know the big names like Danielle Hunter, Leonard Williams, things like that, it was going to be impossible to get Max Crosby. But I just think that I understand the thinking now, that when you have more time to sit back and think about it, the Lions have two players that are young that they believe in Josh Pascal and James Houston. They believe, okay, you know, December comes in, it's like we're going to get an addition when James Houston comes back. And they're hoping that Charles Harris bounces back. They're hoping that Julian Aquara can be that factor as well. So you look at it and you say, the Lions, a lesson that you learn is they trust their own guys. They put faith and stock in their own guys as opposed to willing to bring in somebody else that maybe is more talented. And that's going to be something that at this point we can't conclusively say is the right call. But that's the call. Brad Holmes is trusting James Houston, Julian Aquara, Charles Harris, Romeo Aquara, and, you know, the likes of Josh Pascal, John Kaminsky, Ali McNeil. He's counting on the collection of guys that are on this team to step in, along with the young developmental prospect in Broderick Martin. They're expecting the guys on this roster to step in and play at the highest level, and that's in the postseason. So that's something you learned, is that Brad Holmes trusts his guys. Will it end up paying off? I can't wait to see it. I think now it does raise a little bit of skepticism. I think that that's fair against the Seahawks and against teams. You know, if you really dig deep into the film, and it's fun to do, you all can do it. I highly recommend you pay the money, the $80, $100 or whatever it is, and highlight and get the All-22 from NFL.com Plus or NFL Plus. Go out there and you can watch tape. You can watch the defensive line. Did they do the best against the Bucs? No. Did they get lucky in that the quarterback and Baker Mayfield missed some easy throws? Yeah. Similar to the Raiders. Did they get a little bit of luck that Jimmy Garoppolo was missing his targets and not finding the open Devontae Adams? Yeah. But at the same token, they did start to get after Jimmy in the second half. 6 sacks. But against the better opponents, against a mobile quarterback, you're starting to see the pressures not be there. They're not getting home enough to the degree in which fans or pundits are going to be comfortable. Could be the Achilles heel. It could be the Achilles heel of this football team at the highest level, that when they go up against a Brock Purdy or a Geno Smith or a Dak Prescott, if you do not get pressure on Dak Prescott, even though the NFL world loves to critique him, he'll pick you apart. It goes to show you that's the key. And it was interesting to see
in that in the two games that they lost, the amount of cushion that the defensive backs gave, it was too much. It was just a situation in which the game plan going in may not have been as best, because if your pass rush doesn't get there, then it just makes things exponentially tougher for the defensive backs because the receivers are so open. If you give Lamar Jackson, heck, if you give, you know, any quarterback in this league that much time to survey the landscape and to find an open receiver, they're going to find it. And so for the Lions pass rush, it just made it that much more difficult against the Ravens when the pass rush wasn't getting home and the cushion was far too great. They didn't pressure the receivers enough. And what did you see? You started to see Lamar Jackson pick them apart with chunk plays. And I think that hopefully you would have thought those lessons would have been learned by Aaron Glenn, but it wasn't. In the two games against Seattle and the Ravens, I think that the Lions were willing to, early on, back off a little bit and not play to the level I think that they can. So we'll see in the playoffs if that gets improved, if their willingness to play up a little bit, press man a little bit more often or a little bit less cushion allows the, you know, margin for error to be greater. It was interesting. I did ask Aaron Glenn. I said to him directly, I was curious. I said, you know, when you give that much cushion, if you give that much cushion to wide receivers from your cornerback, does that mean the margin for error from your defensive line is that much smaller? And he indicated that the perfect sign of how your defense and the complementary football that they play and the perfect sign or indication of how your pass rush and coverage marriage works is the pass rush. And if it's not getting there, it just makes things exponentially difficult. Cornerbacks cannot cover for 6 seconds. It's just the way in which routes are so specified and crisp. You can't. The receivers will get open. So in the end, the defensive line has only a finite amount of time to get home. And if they don't, if Aiden Hutchinson does not consistently win battles, if the defensive line doesn't get sacks or pressures from Aleem McNeil or Kaminsky or Pascal, it'll be a long day. Even with the talent that they have with Jacobs and Sutton, if the defensive line, which I think now is the biggest question mark on this football team, we learned that the biggest question marks probably are, one, the defensive line, and two, Jameson Williams. And I'll finish talking about JMO in the final few minutes here. But the defensive line has some questions to answer. Aiden Hutchinson, solid first half, can be better. I think that he's a guy that's starting now. Teams are understanding, hey, we can double team him. We can get him off his game. We can do some things to even hold him. They're trying their best to, you know, take advantage of any rules as possible. They are holding him quite a bit, but it's a player that's getting more attention, and there's an opportunity for Aiden to step up and do his thing. And finally, guys, if Jameson Williams can step up in the second half with Donovan Peoples-Jones, maybe an opportunity for another player to kind of get in his ear and help out and kind of show him the ropes a little bit. If Jameson Williams steps up, if they use him better, I think the lesson that you learned is Jameson Williams needs to be used better, and he needs to step up as well. Too many drops. It's just unacceptable. At the highest level of football, to be dropping the football that much, to not be more crisp and consistent, that's on Jameson Williams, and hopefully he gets that corrected. But the Lions have not done him any favors either. Jared Goff has not done him any favors. The chemistry is not there, and the crispness of what is expected is not there. And guys, it's okay to say that. It's okay to criticize or critique a player that should be at a high level, that's in year two. Yeah, he hasn't had that much playing experience, but he's been in meetings, he's been around the guys, he's been doing the work, he sees what others are doing. No excuse for how this has started off for Jameson Williams. He's got to step it up. And that's just plain and simple. Okay, guys, I just wish sometimes that fans would get an opportunity to sit in a coach's room and see what it's like. I understand what that's like. You don't think I'm hearing what happens a little bit as to what's said or how coaches handle business? Guys, I cover Michigan, Michigan State, the Detroit Lions. You get opportunities to learn a little bit about what's said in these meetings. And sometimes it's not the nicest thing that you're going to hear. Okay? You got to remember that the media sessions, they're always going to slant a little bit more positive than negative. Coaches are not just going to come out there and slam players, but they're going to say things. They're going to say, we need more improvement. They're going to say things are not there yet. So it's okay to understand and to wish things better. The reason why we wish things to be better is because we want the best for Jameson Williams. Not we don't hate on him because we want to run him out of town. We want the ability for this offense to play well. We want Jameson Williams to celebrate. We want him to have a good career. That's why we are imploring him to get the work done and to work with Jared Goff to get things corrected. At the same time, I thought that Herman Moore gave excellent advice on the Detroit Lions podcast. He said, hey, you got to use them differently. Everybody sees it. And I do think and I hope that a lesson that was learned by the coaching staff is you got to use J-Mo better. Early run, a handoff, an end around, a two-yard screen, a situation where he's moving forward, put him in the slot, move him around. I think that that was the question I asked. I said, hey, can you use him more creatively? Yeah. And they started to a little bit against the Raiders. Baby steps. And I think moving forward against the Chargers and Bears and in the second half of the year, you're going to see Jameson be used differently. You just have to see it. And I think that combined with the offense getting better, people returning, it'll open things up more and because the play action hasn't been as crisp as it needs to be because you've lost David Montgomery. So over the last 30 minutes, those are the things I've learned. It's a good football team. The Detroit Lions, I think, have impressed a lot of people. It's really fun to cover the team. It's been really enjoyable to be part of the media, to kind of see the growth of this football team from the ground up in the regime. And it's been fun, an opportunity for the fan base to get behind a good football team. And now we finally can talk about advanced stuff like we can talk more about game plans, execution, integral parts of the game. And when we're able to do that, it's a lot more fun. And so for the second half of the year, big goals ahead. And we'll be here at All Lions and the Bang the Table podcast to break it all down. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to check back in after the Chargers game and to see how the Lions rebound after the bye week. They get healthier. They get better. And hopefully those that are needing to develop will develop. And the opportunities will be there. Opportunities aplenty. Hope has now started to take over Metro Detroit. And when it gets out of control, when the reality meets hope, oh man, big things ahead. I'm hoping that, you know, to close, my expectation is never to have to travel this year outside of the first game. All home playoff games, all roads coming through Detroit through the playoffs would be spectacular. The fans have been showing out. The decibel levels have been crazy. And if the playoffs, if the Eagles, 49ers, and Seahawks have to come through Detroit, oh man, maybe the biggest goal, the biggest opportunity could be facing the Detroit Lions this year. Could I be booking a trip to Vegas? Let's find out. Let's enjoy the ride together. Thanks, everybody. I'm John McEnroe. This has been Bang the Table, and this has been made possible thanks to Fan Nation and SI.com.